Okay, good morning, everyone. Yeah, I think we're on. Oh. Good morning, indeed. So you're very welcome to our harvest service this morning. If you're worshiping with us either here in the church sanctuary or around in the cafe area, or you're visiting with us, we trust that you will be really blessed as we give our thanks to God for all that He has given to us. As usual, after the service, there's tea and coffee available in the Solid Ground Cafe. I hope you have all got a copy of the announcements. And there's a few, though, I would like to highlight. And just remind everyone of our evening service tonight at 6:30 p.m. as we continue our Harvest Thanksgiving, thanks to God. Wallace Moore, who is a student for the ministry and from Scrabble Congregation, will be speaking at that. And Neil will be leading the other part of the service. I would also like to say thanks to anyone who helped with the harvest decorations, whether that was by bringing produce here to the church to help decorate the church, the organisations who did various windows and some of the areas out in the welcome area in the hall, and to a special thanks also to Nance Kyle and her team who put it all together. So a big thank you to everyone. I think it's an appropriate acknowledgement to God for His bounty to us. And I would encourage everyone to have a look around after the service as well. I would just remind folks of our taking care training tomorrow evening here in the church at 7:30 p.m. And I would encourage anyone who works with young folks or is in contact with vulnerable adults and so on to please do try to attend that. This is training we have to do as a church every 3 years, and PCI are running it for us. There is a sheet in the vestibule and I think round in the welcome area as well. If you add your names to that, that would be very helpful. I would also remind folks there's our members training tomorrow night. If you're interested in coming into membership of a congregation, although tomorrow night is week two, please do go along, and that will take place in Clochy. And I'm not sure what time, I think it's 8 o'clock. And it also, in a couple of weeks' time, we have our fellowship outing to the Ice Bowl on Saturday the 2nd of November. And I would ask you, if you're interested in going to that, please see Sandra either after this morning service or this evening. And Paddy has asked the members of the drama team to meet in the youth room after the service. Neil is on leave. We'll be taking some well-earned leave, actually, from Friday the 25th, that's this Friday, returning on Saturday the 2nd of November. And next Sunday, Alan Ryder will lead our service. And just one other announcement I was asked to mention. There's a Festival of Brass with Peter Corey this Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. In Bangor Parish, and you can pay at the door if you want to attend that. So let us come to our worship, to worship our Almighty God. And I would just ask you to stand. We're going to a few words on the screen this morning. We would like to read those through together. And that's from Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. So please stand. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And with that in mind, let us come to our first praise. Come, ye thankful people, come.
Come, you thankful people, come.
So let us come to God in our opening prayer as we approach him. Seek his forgiveness and blessing on our service this morning. Let us pray. By the word of our Lord, the heavens were made. By the Spirit of our Lord was life begun. By the wisdom of our Lord, his laws were made. By the love of our Lord was born his Son. By the grace of our Lord, mankind was saved. By the power of our Lord, the victory was won. Lord, in this our Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday morning, it's a joy to take time from all of our busyness to remember how faithful and loving you are. So today, Lord, we give you all of our gratitude and thanks for your bountiful harvest. We only have to look around this church and the countryside to see how your unending creativity through your creation, its beauty and the wonder of nature. Therefore, it's fitting that today we take time to say thanks for your unfailing promise of a seed time and harvest. For the promise of harvest contained within a seed, we thank you. For the oak tree within an acorn, we thank you. For the bread within a grain of wheat, we thank you. For an apple within a pip, we thank you. In the midst of all your blessings, Lord, we humbly seek your forgiveness for our often misuse of creation. You have given us a world of beauty, yet we have spoilt it. You have given us a world of plenty to feed us, yet so many go hungry. You have given us a world of riches, yet so often we are unwilling to share. You have given us a world to care for, yet frequently we only think of ourselves doing things that are harmful to the environment. So, Lord, with this sense of regret and sorrow, we humbly seek your forgiveness. Lord, we know we cannot hide these or indeed any of our other wrongdoings from you. So just now, in a moment of silence, we come individually to confess these to you. Lord, create in us clean hearts, and we thank you for the wonderful gift of forgiveness through the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we come with a sense of anticipation as we worship and praise you through both word and song today. We thank you for the gift of your living water that does not run dry, and the nourishment of your word which sustains us. We therefore ask that you will be with the choir and the praise group who minister to us through song, and Neil as he brings us your message. Speak to us, Lord, both individually and as a church family, helping us to take up our cross and to run the race you want us to. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. And now the choir are going to minister to us through the song, God, You Reign. Just want to say a very big thank you to the choir. I think that was lovely and very appropriate for a Harvest Sunday. God, you reign. As we come now to our reading, let us turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11. And you can find that on the page 1041 of the Pew Bible, 1041. And this part of the God's word is called Jesus Sends Out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Amen. And as this is our harvest service Sunday, we always have a special harvest collection today where the contributions received through our harvest envelopes in your free will offering pack and also in the loose collection will go to our missions here in Trinity, both locally and globally. So let us worship God through our offering. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonder of nature, the gift of sunshine and rain in due season, of seed, soil, and harvest that provide for our needs. As we give a little back to you for what you have given to us, we ask that you will use this powerfully through your local mission here locally and also our global mission. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Just want to take the opportunity to thank the members of Regen for lifting the offering this morning and this evening as well. So thank you, guys. Our praise group are going to minister to us now through the praise, Say the Word.
Creating God, your glory cannot fade.
I just want to say a very big thank you to our praise group for that worship and also for leading our worship throughout the service. We're going to sing again as a congregation our second praise, "This is the day that the Lord has made."
Boys and girls, you are now free to go out to K4C. I just want to echo that thank you that Leonard gave this morning for how lovely the place is decorated, and thank you to Regen for lifting the offering, and Paddy McAvoy. Let's not consider for one moment that Paddy is a teenager. That is long past, but thank you to everyone who has made this service happen and the service this evening happen, and we just give glory to God. We want to come before God now in prayer as we pray for others. Let's just unite our hearts now and let's bow our heads and let's pray to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of the provisions that you have given us, Lord, as we come before you today celebrating harvest. But we thank you, Lord, not just for the produce, but we thank you, Lord, for all the people involved. We thank you, Lord, for the farmers who work the ground. Long hours, different types of weather. Lord, we just pray for them, especially in this time of uncertainty. We pray also, Lord, then for those who transport that produce from the farms to the places where they're processed. And then, Lord, for those who transport it to the places where it's sold, and for those who sell that produce to us, for those who deliver it to our homes. Lord, so many people involved in providing us with food on our tables so that we don't go hungry in these days in this part of the world where we live. So we are just thank you. We are so thankful, Lord, and we give you the thanks for that. But Lord, we want to thank you this morning not just for the foodstuffs that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the clothing that we have. We thank you, Lord, that we can go home and switch on a switch and the kettle will boil. We thank you, Lord, that we turn a tap and water comes into our homes. A light can be switched on. Gas at our disposal. And Lord, we just thank you for all of that energy that we have in our homes. We thank you too, Lord, for how we move around on the vehicles, the public transport, the trains and our cars. Lord, we thank you for our road networks that allow us to travel around. And Lord, we thank you for our schools, for all who are involved there in educating, who educated us, who educate our children now, for those who are children now but who want to become teachers. Lord, we just thank you for all of that great provision. We thank you, Lord God, for our NHS, and Lord, for all who work in the many jobs that make the NHS work. And Lord, we thank you that we are here today. We are celebrating a harvest of many things. We thank you, Lord, that many of us can celebrate a harvest of good health. But Lord, we know there are those who are not celebrating a harvest of good health, for they are living with ill health. We pray particularly, Lord, for those people known to us, part of our congregation, who are drawing to the close of their life's journey. We thank you for the long life, for the witness and testimony. But Lord, we do pray for families gathered, Lord, as life comes towards an end. Lord, we pray to you for those whose life's journey is at risk through disease. Lord, not long lives lived. Lord, from our earthly perspective, 80 and 90 years is not uncommon now. But whenever we think of those known to us who are in their 30s and 40s, Lord, who are facing life-ending diseases, we just hand those situations over to you, Lord, asking that you would indeed, Lord, work miraculously. For Lord, we know you're a God of miracles, not just because we read it, but because we hear that testimony in our own congregation. And Lord, we pray for those who are in hospital at the moment whose lives have been damaged through accident or incident. And we just pray, Lord, your hand upon them. We pray for anyone, Lord, in the congregation who is awaiting tests, anyone in our congregation who is undergoing treatments, anyone in our congregation who is taking medication. And Lord, we thank you for all of that. Lord, our harvest that we celebrate is beyond our thinking, really, when we take time like this. Each of us, Lord, who have our heads bowed, can thank you for a massive amount of blessing in our lives. And Lord, so we do that. We give you the praise, the glory and honor for the bountiful harvest in which we live. And Lord, as we come to your scriptures now, we pray, Lord, that you would enlighten us, you would remind us, Lord, that you would teach us, that there is a bountiful harvest awaiting us. So, Lord, may we be reminded of it and made ready for it today as we turn to your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One prayer that I'm praying is that my voice will stick it. It nearly collapsed on me down in Clocky. But someone outside says, well, we might get a short sermon this morning, but that's not going to happen. We're talking this morning about a plentiful harvest. And, you know, we live at a time, I've just been praying about it, a plentiful harvest of various different things. But particularly at this time, a harvest time of year, we thank God for all the crops and the produce and all the food that we enjoy. And we thank God because of his common grace. We've looked at that a few weeks ago, where how God sends the sun and the rain on equal measure on the righteous and the unrighteous, so that we can live the way we live in these days. And you know, we should really trust God's common grace. God's common grace has been revealed to us throughout our lifetime. We should trust God's common grace to be greater, for example, than the worry of Brexit. I'm trying not to say that word too much, but it's a reality. It's there. It's uncertain. But here's one thing, folks. Whatever happens, whenever they manage to do something or anything or nothing, I can't see us starving in this country in these days. God's common grace is an abundance to us. So much so that even in times of real financial difficulty, not that long ago, the time of the great crash of the building, we were able to collect more food, a surplus of food for some of us, and give it to various food banks, as we continue to do. So we're living in a time of great, great blessing. A time when there should be no hungry people in our land. But there are. There are sometimes hungry people in our land. And it's not because there isn't enough food. Sometimes it's through neglect. Parents neglect their children, sadly, when they spend money on their own vices quite often and don't spend money to feed their children. There are some people who are hungry because they simply are bad managers of their money. That's why we run CAP courses, to help people manage their money better. Sometimes people are hungry because they're simply too proud to ask for help. There's a variety of reasons. But we have an instruction. We have an instruction from God to ensure that no people go hungry. We are to distribute the plentiful harvest that he has blessed us with. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about how we should give food and water to people who are hungry and people who are thirsty. Those people who are around us. Now, I have made four statements this morning, all starting with we. The first three, we live in a land with a plentiful harvest. We should give thanks to God for that plentiful harvest, and we should trust God. That can be applied to everyone in this room. But the we who have been instructed by God to feed and water those who are hungry and thirsty, that's a different group of people. The we in that group are a group of people from within the bigger group. You see, in that passage in Matthew 25, Jesus is teaching about his return, when he comes back at the end of time, or as he calls it, the end of the age. And in Matthew 13, he also talks about coming back at the end of the age. He calls that the harvest. There is going to be a great harvest at the end of the age. A harvest in Matthew 13, where there is a parable there of wheat and weeds. So there's a farmer sows a seed, of a field of good seed, and then somebody sneaks in and sows weeds, and the weeds and the wheat are growing together. But that parable is about a time when the wheat and the weeds will be separated. It's the same theme in Matthew 25, where Jesus teaches about the end of the age. But it's sheep and goats he talks about in that illustration. You see, there is a harvest coming when wheat and sheep will spend an eternity in God's presence, and the weeds and the goats, well, they won't. But on that day, it will be a plentiful harvest. There's a crowd in eternity. There is a multitude described there by John in Revelation, a crowd that no one could number. Obviously, God can number it, but no human being could count the number of people who are going to be there at that last harvest. But sadly, there'll be quite a number of people who on that last harvest will be weeds and goats. And another parable, Jesus talks in Matthew 7 about a broad road and a broad gate and a narrow road and a narrow gate, and the broad road and the broad gate leads to destruction, and many will enter through it, sadly. So which of the we's are you this morning? Are you just simply here, that population of the world who lives under the grace of God as he sends the sun to shine and the rain to fall and to put food in your bellies and clothes in your back and heat in your homes and money in your pockets? Are you that we? Are you this smaller group? We who are the people who are God's workers. And in our passage today, you might want to open up to Luke chapter 10. Jesus talks here about harvest workers. The Lord has appointed 72 people. He sends them out two by two ahead of him. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Who would these workers be? Who would these 72 people be? Well, these could be the people who have witnessed Jesus. They've heard about Jesus. They've heard about his teaching. Maybe they sat under his teaching. Maybe they've heard about or witnessed his great power, his power over the wind and the waves, his power to heal people, his power to raise, at this point of his ministry, a boy and a girl from the dead. Maybe they heard the report of the 12 who had been sent out before, who have come back. Perhaps these people were in the crowd of the 5,000 who were fed with the loaves and fishes. Maybe these were the people who saw Jesus rebuking the evil spirit that no one else could rebuke. But I think these people are more than just people who have witnessed or heard things. These are people who have believed what Jesus was teaching behind these demonstrations of power. When Jesus says he was the Son of Man, they believed it. When Jesus said he had the power to forgive sins, they believed it. When he said he was the Lord of the Sabbath, they believed it. When the Jew says, is this the one we've been waiting for? They believed it. The Christ. When Jesus says the kingdom is now here, they believed it. Now, when Jesus told them that he would be betrayed and suffered and rejected and killed and raised on the third day, they did get a bit confused about that. They didn't get it all. But they understood when Jesus taught about that day, a day of judgment, they believed there would be a blessing for those who believe and rejection for those who do not believe. The 72 didn't comprehend the full teaching of the kingdom, but they saw enough. Even when Jesus taught them about suffering and how there would be opposition for following him. Everything I've just said in the last few moments, a snapshot, chapters 1 to 9 there of Luke's gospel, a snapshot of history, literally his story, the story of Jesus. And these 72 people believed what they saw. Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do you believe that Jesus actually did the things that are recorded for us in Scripture? Do you believe that Jesus died? And do you believe he did it for you? Don't think of everyone sitting around you. Don't think of the people who could be here today, who would love to be here today, but can't be here today. Don't be thinking about your friends or colleagues or family members. Do you believe he did it for you? For your sin. If you do, if you've accepted that reality, then you are one of his workers. And according to this passage, workers work. According to the first few chapters, workers work. There's a story of the wise and the foolish builders. These are the wise and the foolish. So what's the difference between them? The foolish hear the words of God and don't put them into practice, and the wise hear the words of God but put them into practice. When Jesus says to the fishermen, when you've come in from fishing, I am going to make you fishers of men, quite obviously That means you're going to go out and do something. Just as you've been working out on the sea, catching fish, you're going to work and catch people. Workers hear the word of God and they retain it. It doesn't just stay in their head, but it goes down into their heart and they produce a crop. Chapter 8, verse 15. And chapter 8, verse 21. Hear God's word and put it into practice. Workers work. And if you believe you're a part of God's kingdom here today, then you're a worker and you should have a desire to obey the commands of Jesus. There's a very special command here for us in verse 3. Go. Go, Jesus says. Go into the plentiful harvest field. Guess what the word go is? It's a verb. Guess what kind of verb it is? Imperative. It is an imperative that we go out into the harvest field. Well, where is this harvest field? Go into the harvest field, Jesus says. In verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them out two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to go out into all the local towns and villages and all the wee townlands in between the villages on the peninsula. We have to think of the original context. These were the first ever preachers. Few places had heard this good news of the kingdom. This is early in Jesus' ministry. Today there are workers in all of those towns and villages and townlands in between. So where is our going? Our going is out of the church building. Our going is into the harvest field where God has placed us. Our homes, this community, our places of work, our schools. That is our harvest field. Jesus tells these 72 to go out. He says, take no purse or bag and don't greet anyone along the way. It sounds as if that's almost a little bit ignorant. But this doesn't mean that we don't plan or make provision or be polite as we go about this work. The original context was there was a custom to provide hospitality to strangers. So verses 5 through to 7, when you were a traveler, a person traveling from town to village, and it came late at night, you knocked anyone's door. And if you were in the house, if somebody knocked your door, you were obliged to bring them in and provide them with lodgings and something to eat. We don't do that today. When people knock the door late at night, we are actually scared to go to the door. And I'm not suggesting if you get a knock at the door, you just bring that stranger in. But that's the original context. That's how these people lived in those days. And Jesus says, don't greet anyone along the way. There was a set of urgency. I mean, we can meet someone on the village here and you can walk past them and go, hello, how you doing? And I'll go, oh, I'm all right, how are you? I'm grand, and you can walk on. This was not how these people greeted each other. It was a great palaver of different things that they had to do, which took up a lot of time as they met each other on the road. What Jesus is saying here, there's urgency. But we are to maintain the urgency. We are to be polite. We are to be prepared in our going. And the reason why we should be prepared in our going is because going is tough. In verse 3, Jesus says, I am sending you out like lambs amongst the wolves. We have a little bit of thinking about the original context of where Jesus is about to go in the towns and villages. It's different. We have a little bit of original context about knocking doors and bringing strangers in and providing hospitality. But in this verse, the original context is the same as today. People will furiously oppose us in our going. We will have that mixture, the same as these 72 had. People will welcome us. People will be blessed and be happy to see us and love to talk to us. Other people will oppose us, and other people will politely reject us. They don't want to hear it, but they'll do it in a nice way. And that's the mixture of responses that we will experience. But let's consider what we go out with. Back in chapter 9, verse 1, that's the passage where Jesus sends out the 12. Jesus had called the 12 together. He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. They sent them out to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. And then in this passage today, Jesus appoints 72 others. There's no reason to believe that they didn't have the same power and authority. There's no reason to believe that we don't go out with the same power and authority as workers in our harvest field in these days. And then look how they returned. In verse 17, the 72 returned with joy. With great joy. Folks, we have the same power and authority to go, and the same joy in the work is waiting for us out there. But we do not go out into that field alone. We do not go out unprepared. But we do go to produce a crop. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. There's a crop out there. On that day, that's what Jesus is saying. There's going to be a harvest on that day, and it will be plentiful. At the end of the age, there will be lots of people gathered for eternity in God's presence. He says the workers are few. He's only sent out 12. He's now gathered the next band, the 72. The workers are few, but the workers are going and growing. I mean, there is a chance that these 72 went out because they were some of the people that the 12 engaged with whenever they went out. Going is the imperative verb. Matthew 28, what's the imperative that we've looked at there? Making disciples. We've also looked at Mark's version of the Great Commission, and that is preaching the gospel. So you see this imperative, go. The imperative is to preach the gospel. The imperative is to make disciples. Disciples go. And what do? They make disciples. That is the crop. It's all right going out doing nice things and good things, but we've got to be making disciples. Disciples make disciples. You make disciples. You make disciples. 12 were sent out. 72 were sent out. How many people over time and around the world have been sent out throughout the generations that allow us to be here? It's because of them that we are here today, worshiping God, thanking Him for this harvest. We are part of it. We are being made ready for us, for it. And we do this because God has a harvest plan. God is not making this up as He goes along. He sent them out. Jesus sent them out to the towns and villages where He was about to go. He didn't just say, head you guys all out there and I'll just follow in your dust trails and see what I can pick up. No, you go there. You too, you go there. You too, you go there. Because that's exactly where Jesus wanted them and needed them to go. There is a great harvest plan, folks. And we get a glimpse of that harvest plan here. Jesus gives us an allusion to this great harvest plan. Verse 17, the 72 returned with great joy. Even the demons submit to us in your name. Verse 18, Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We're to be glad in the things that we do in the ministries we're involved in, but this is where the joy is to be. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What Jesus is referring to here is the book of life. Do you know the song? When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. The roll in the book of life. This book exists. This is a book that God has. Now, the names in this book are not added as people get saved. You see, the book is referred to throughout scriptures, right through Exodus, Daniel, Hebrews, and in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapters 13 and 17 tell us that the names are in the book since before the creation of the world. This is how big God's plan is. If we say that God is the Alpha and the Omega, He is before all things and He is after all things, then we've got to believe that He knows all things. The truth is, there's people in our community, people in our schools and our sports teams who are sheep, who are wheat. Salvation awaits them. A place in heaven has been prepared for them, but they don't know it yet. They're still living on the broad road, as many of you were. Living on the broad road, not realizing that salvation awaited you until your eyes were opened. until God gave you the gift of repentance so you could turn from that, get onto the narrow road and become sheep and become wheat, ready for the last harvest. And maybe, probably, you're in this room today and you are a goat. And you are a weed. You're on the broad road. But God's speaking to you today. Is he revealing to you today what he did for you? Is he offering you the gift of repentance to turn from the broad road and turn to the narrow road and be ready for that last harvest? Sometimes whenever we talk like this, we get into this great discussion. Oh, well, sure, if their name's in the book, what's the point? Or if my name's not in the book, I'm not going to be saved anyway. And we get into all of this sort of stuff. It's only a pile of excuses. There's a human responsibility to ask and seek and knock. That's what the scripture says. So if you're here and you're not saved, ask and seek and knock. Salvation may await you. And if you're here and you are saved, then don't be saying, well, I'm not going to go to that person because I don't know if their name is in the book of life or not. That is not our responsibility as workers in this harvest field. Our responsibility is to go and preach the gospel. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to God's foreknowledge and plan, people will be saved. And in this, there is great rejoicing. Rejoicing. Go and make disciples, Jesus says, and rejoice. Because guess what the word rejoice is, folks? It's a verb. And can anybody guess? There's a free cup of tea for anybody who can guess what type of verb rejoicing is. It's imperative. So it's imperative that we go. It's imperative that we preach the good news of Jesus Christ. It's imperative that we are involved in the making of disciples, because it's imperative that we live rejoicing, knowing that in the trouble that this world creates, and the sin that this world is steeped in, there is rejoicing for those who turn from sin and turn to Jesus. And God wants us to be part of it. That's why he says, go. Not a suggestion. That's an imperative command of God. Followers of Jesus, we must go. Develop conversations with people. Leave those conversations in the Spirit's hands. And you know, if we don't go, then we're going to miss out on that rejoicing. There's nothing like being with someone when they give their life to Jesus. You can see it happening. There's nothing like receiving a message like I received on Friday from a young man who worships in Clochy, whose wife gave her life to Jesus 3 weeks ago. And at roughly 10:42 on Monday night, while reading about the last harvest, he also gave his life to Jesus. Amen. God is making disciples around us, folks. And that fills me with great joy. And it should fill you with great joy to know that there are people out there who are ready to meet Jesus. And God wants us to be part of it. He has a great harvest plan, folks. And if you're a worker, then you're part of that plan to go out and produce a crop to make disciples of all types of people in that harvest field wherever God has placed you, using the workers, you who know and love him. Will we experience great rejoicing in our work? We will if we go. God assures us of it. And in this work, we will also be assured then our names are in the book of life, spurring us on to ensure other people know that their name is in the book of life. And then, whenever it happens, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time will be no more, we'll be called up, we'll meet him in the air as sheep or as wheat, or whatever way you want to imagine it, to be called, well done, good and faithful servants, Come and share your master's happiness. And when that roll is called up yonder, by the grace of God, we will be there. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you and praise you for your gospel truth. It spanned not just the generations, it spans beyond time. Lord, this good news has been there since before time began. And we thank you, Lord, for contending with us, for walking with us, for revealing the truth of Jesus to us and enabling us to go out, Lord, and take that good news to all who need to hear it. So, Lord, may we be empowered today to go out and do that very thing. And may those who are gathered here, Lord, today who realize and know they're not saved yet, they have not received that gift, Lord, may they do something about it today. Lord, may all who are here who know you be available to those who don't. Lord, may there be great rejoicing, not just in our physical harvest, but Lord, in a spiritual harvest today. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together singing our final piece of praise. Though I feel afraid of territory unknown. This is a hymn, a missional hymn, that encourages us, reminds us of the promises of God to go out. Let's stand together and sing to the glory of God. Send us now with that great assurance that we go with the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray this morning that that would rest and remain on each of us, both now and until Jesus Christ returns, and then forevermore. Amen.